This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Wow, almost missed that one. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We have the entire team back this week.
It's good to all be back.
Yeah, very nice.
Should we sing Back in the Saddle again?
Nope.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Did you see the last supermoon of the year?
I did. And how is it different than the first supermoon of the year?
I don't know. But you know what? I don't know where all these names for the moons came from.
Exactly. It's like
the internet.
It used to be, it was blue moon and harvest moon, and that was it. And now this is a sturgeon moon. I don't even know what that means.
Nor do I.
I didn't bother to look it up either. But it was quite a spectacular moon, although it apparently drowned out the Perseid meteor shower that was supposed to be last night as well.
I didn't even see any satellites when I went out.
You know, every time I've tried to go out, they say, oh, you could see up to 60 meteors an hour. When I go outside, I don't see anything. And we even went to Borrego one time and didn't see any. You could see the Milky Way, but didn't see any meteors.
I remember. So. Driving out with the kids to Laguna one year. Jeez. And there were traffic going through El Cajon. The 8 was backed up into El Cajon from people heading out there. But we saw a lot of meteors that night.
Oh, did
it? It was cold.
You?
It was the December one, which is not Perseid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't have done that.
It was really neat.
It'd be really cold.
Well,
in December, Laguna in December?
That's what proper outerwear.
Yeah, remember, there's
I don't have proper outerwear.
Proper weather attire, so there's no bad weather.
Just bad
weather clothing.
Just
choices.
Bad equipment.
Preparation, yes.
Yeah.
I'll have to tell Daniel that since he moved to Chicago.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's going to be a. I think it's going to. Saw him last night for the first time in a while. I think he's in for a rude awakening.
Yes. Winter hits.
Yeah. He said it's really hot back there right now, and I said, well, just give it a month or two.
Exactly.
Regardless of the weather. He's going to Chicago.
Yeah. Well, actually, he's in Evanston, so it's about a half hour.
Right.
Half hour outside of Chicago.
Okay.
Did you guys know there's other names for the sturgeon moon?
No.
No.
Yeah, yeah. It includes grain moon, corn moon, lynx moon, and lightning moon.
There you go.
Never heard of anyone.
Just what we were talking about. Yeah. Yeah. A lot more names for
some moons. I don't know what they are.
A super moon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. It was a beautiful moon.
It was nice.
I would say it was almost... super. It was so nice.
Beautiful sunset at the beach last night too. We were over in Encinitas for dinner. It was a really quite spectacular sunset.
Now, I asked you off the air, but you guys didn't get any rain last night?
No.
Not that I know of.
No.
It looked dry this morning. You said you got
a pretty good downpour out of nowhere, and then this morning it was
sure a pipe didn't break?
No, this was everywhere. Yeah, no, everywhere outside.
But there were flash floods in the desert last night. I mean, this morning, actually, they popped up this morning. It was not from yesterday afternoon and our desert. So one of those must have come this way.
Yep, hit us.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't
dusted off all the leaves.
Didn't notice anything.
Burst pipe real quickly. When we left the studio last week, we were headed south on the 805, and I saw water right by where the nursery is.
Mm-hmm.
You could see water shooting out.
On the 805?
Yes.
The nursery's not on the 805.
805 at Governor. Not our nursery.
Not our nursery.
Okay.
A nursery.
Oh, I've been going to the wrong nursery all these years.
Okay.
But that's where the water main burst that's causing the boiler in Terrasana.
At Miramar Wholesale?
It was just north of there. You could see the water shooting across the canyon. I thought it was the fire department or something because I just saw water.
They said it was a 42-inch water line, too.
Yeah.
But that's a big water line.
Yes, it is. And I could just see the top of the water and the mist it was creating. It looked like smoke. I figured
Did they cancel the boil water notice for Tierra Santa?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got a notice on my phone yesterday that we should cut back on our water use to keep the pressure under, keep the pressure under control.
Well, so. I saw a press conference. I think it was yesterday. I don't know, with Mayor Todd Gloria talking about that.
Oh, I missed that.
I didn't miss
lucky
anything.
You.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sorry.
All right, on to more important things. Garden classes today, the 13th. God, we're almost halfway through the month already. In San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's going to be worm composting with Kathleen. And at 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be hydroponics 101 with Rick.
That's not going to be ringworm composting, is it?
I hope not.
It's regular. Okay. I think it's regular earthworm.
Regular earthworm composting.
El Nino's going to give the class.
And then next weekend, the 20th, it's going to be in San Diego. It's going to be water saving techniques with James. And at 9:30, it's going to be brassicas and other fall vegetables with Farmer Roy, which I haven't seen Roy in a while.
He was in this week.
Was he?
He's been busy.
I missed him.
Spending less time dilly dallying in the nursery with us.
You think James, on his water saving techniques, is going to just say, secure that pipe that's leaking? That'll be one way to save water.
Yeah.
Have you heard the commercial on the radio that says stopping or repairing a leaky pipe can save 29 to 90 gallons of water per month? Well, where do you come up with that number? If it's barely leaking, it's going to be almost nothing. If it's leaking a lot, it could be thousands of gallons. Where do you just pull these
arbitrary
numbers? What if it's a 42-inch pipe?
That'll be a lot more in a lot less time.
Yeah, I don't know where they come up with that, some of that stuff. Not too much stuff going on at the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation in the month of August, but next weekend, is that next weekend?
Yes. It'll be the 20th.
Next weekend, the 19th, 20th, and the 21st is the Fern Society's annual show and sale.
Oh.
So if you want to go check out some really interesting ferns or maybe pick up a few for your own collection, that might be a way to do it. And if you want to get out of the house for a weekend.
Yeah.
Good place to go. Also at the San Diego Botanical Garden, not to be confused with the Botanical Garden Foundation, two completely separate organizations, as confusing as that is. It's the continuation of the World of Houseplants. Is that the?
Through September 5th.
Through September 5th. Yeah. So that's coming up as well. I don't think we didn't talk about it last weekend because we went on Sunday. Melanie and I went to the self-realization garden or self-realization
fellowship.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what the last word was in Encinitas, and they have a meditation garden there that's open to the public and it's free.
Do they serve wine?
No, they do not. Okay. But you know where the fellowship is on Coast Highway there. Well, the meditation garden is on K Street, so you have to go like two blocks west from Pacific Highway, and then it's right there. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful. The gardens are very nicely maintained. They're right on the top of the bluff. Just an incredible view of the Pacific Ocean. They're really stunning. I was pleasantly surprised. It's a hidden gem. I mean, it's only been within the last couple of months that I even knew it existed. And went, it was Gretchen was the one that told us about it, and she had gone to check it out.
Was parking an issue at all?
We actually got street parking on Highway 101, so it wasn't bad. It was a little bit of a walk, but it wasn't bad. Street parking in the neighborhood looked pretty congested, but there was parking on 101, and we just walked over. But they had one section. Some of the areas look kind of Oriental gardenish. Had some of the nicest Korean grass I've seen in years. I mean, it was all green. There were no yellow patches in it. When Korean grass gets old, it
puffs.
It starts to bunch up, and it repels water. The water just runs right off of it. But this stuff was nice and green. It was just starting to get a little bit lumpy, but there were no brown patches in it at all.
And no oxalis.
No weeds. Nothing. It was planted underneath some cycads, and I think there might have been some bamboo and stuff. It was really nice. They also had a couple of tea trees, Leptospermum lavigatums, that were ancient. And the trunks were laying almost sideways, and
that's a great
twisted
plant.
They were stunning, really, really pretty trees.
Now, one more time, where were you?
The Self-Realization Fellowship Garden, Meditation Garden,
in Encinitas,
on K Street.
And that place is over 100 years old. It was founded in 1920. There had to be nothing there in 1920. I was somewhat surprised by that. Oh, they also had the biggest twisted junipers I've ever seen in my life, and they were actually trimmed into trees, and they had trunks on them that were probably close to 18 inches in diameter and at least 30 feet tall.
Wow.
Just massive.
And were they all
windswept?
No, they didn't look like twisted juniper. They looked like a giant tree juniper. I mean,
traditional from trimming
tree.
Them.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was, but they were huge. I mean, they were amazingly big. But the view is incredible. The view is absolutely incredible.
I can imagine.
So if you're looking for something to do on a weekend, I would highly recommend going out there and checking it out. And then, of course, there's all kinds of places to eat or get something to drink along. Highway 101.
So many people like to get out and go for a drive up the 101
mm-hmm.
on the weekend. Just
no, it's one of my favorite things.
Stop yeah. this time.
Yeah. They're open 9 to 5 on Saturdays and 11 to 5 on Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. And that place is huge. I mean, the garden's a relatively small chunk of it.
Right.
But the fellowship is, that's a massive piece of property.
Well, I'm guessing purchasing property in Encinitas in 1920 might have been a fairly inexpensive affair.
Yeah, a little different than now.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to get in there and do it before the Yekkies came in and bought it all. So
you get this part, and we'll take the rest.
We'll take everything else. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. This last week, it was hot.
Yeah, it was very hot.
It was really, really hot. Honestly, I remember it being for a while. Actually, we actually had to run the air conditioner for more than a day.
Oh, my.
Or more than once. I think we ran it three times.
It has been warm. It's been hot, but it hasn't been ridiculous.
Yeah,
it hasn't been 100. No,
it's been more humidity. I think it's humidity for a lot of people.
It was really muggy.
Too, yeah. I mean, yeah. Just and it's really, supposed really to be muggy. Back today and tomorrow.
It's hotter today.
I heard through the week.
Well, I mean, that rain that they had out in wherever and the humidity's.
Borrego.
Yeah, Borrego. And
George's house.
George's house. Is Vegas. And
yeah, Vegas got flooded again this week.
Yeah, a couple of days.
Yeah.
We have to refill Lake Mead. And it's up almost a foot since the monsoon started a couple of weeks ago out there. So
only got what, another 112 feet to go.
Yeah, yeah. Something but think like about think about the surface area.
I know
of it's Lake Mead and adding a foot to it.
It's a lot of water. It's incredible.
And now we're going to have to wait a while before more bodies start showing up.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They're not gonna find them all.
Yeah, or cars or boats or whatever they found over there.
But anyway, with it being hot, now is a good time to double check your irrigation system and make sure everything's working properly. Even if that means using a hose, make sure you get plenty of water. Get plenty of water on your
container plants.
Yeah. Yeah. I put a lot of water on.
On his navel?
Well, navel orange.
on the oranges, the two Satsuma mandarins that I have.
Do you remember the avocado I told you I nursed in a container for over a year and kept alive and then planted and then didn't water enough so it was alive but not growing?
Right.
And then I started watering it more and it started growing some more. And then I was watering it more but still not enough, so it stopped growing again. And then I started watering it more. And guess what? It has new growth all over it.
Oh, good.
Which reminds me, at the break, I have to show George the pictures of that, of my Satsuma. I'm not satisfied with the answer that you gave me.
What was the question?
Remember the foliage.
Oh my gosh. You are just like so many people that come in and ask for information and then don't want to hear it or don't believe what they are told. Okay, yeah, you show George. Okay.
I will do that.
Sheesh.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go talk to John real quick. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are all of you guys doing?
Doing well. What can we do for you?
Good. Well, I just love the Self-Realization Fellowship card myself. I think it's just so cool. And then the fact that the San Diego Botanic Garden is in its neatest. I'm a little bit of a historian. I used to be an agricultural historian for the state park system in a former career. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I do is in our San Diego Gardener group on Facebook. I used to do it every day. I don't do it quite so much anymore, but I would post, maybe 6,000 historical photographs of San Diego, basically centered on agriculture and horticulture. And so I would do a little vignette and a story. But one of the things that shocks people in terms of land values in San Diego is in 1888, there was a book published about land values. It was basically a big real estate promotional book with great, great images. And the most expensive land in all of San Diego in 1888 was Spring Valley. And Spring Valley would sell for $500 an acre.
I think that's what you paid, isn't it, Dave?
Yes. Plus or minus.
Hey, John, I love those vignettes when you write those. I love the pictures and I love the stories.
Yeah, and the second most expensive place to buy land in all of San Diego would have been Chuyas Valley, which is basically where Encanto is. And do you know the cheapest land in all of San Diego in 1888? It was Encinitas.
Really?
You could buy anything you wanted in Encinitas for about $10 an acre.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
Times have changed.
Well, so they weren't prescient. They just went to the cheapest place they could find land. Changes the whole perspective now.
It truly was one of the cheapest places in town. When Ecke bought that land, it was selling for about $30 to $35 an acre. He basically got it for nothing. Oh,
wow. Yeah, it was pretty cheap. Yeah. Pretty.
And you were talking about water. The biggest reason was, where was the water? Spring Valley had water. And Chuyas Valley had water. And this is before the dams are put in and that kind of thing. But Encinitas had no water.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yep. And I guess poinsettias don't need a lot of water. So
still.
But without the water, you can't have plants.
That is true.
So true.
That is true.
Well, some say all life needs it. No, not just plants. But
yeah, probably. Yeah.
Were you going to say probably?
I was gonna say, yeah, I was. It's an unproven fact.
Okay. No, those posts are great, John. I really enjoy reading them.
And what's the what's the page?
It's on Facebook. There's a group that Nan Skirman and I do and curate, and it's called San Diego Gardener.
I will have to look that
great.
Up.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks for calling, John. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye.
Okay, take care. For those that don't realize, that was John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Garden. Good friend of the show and all-around good guy.
All-around good guy. Yeah. I'm going to say that as well.
I'll have to look that page up. And
should have
and
asked him about your citrus question.
I got 6 minutes and I'll have my answer.
So. Exactly.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You know what we had in our house for the first time in years was ants. They showed up in the master bathroom of all places. I mean, Melanie was a little more than perturbed over the whole thing. I don't know where they came from. It was there were like three different kinds of ants. There was little teeny ones, and there were some bigger ones, and then there was something else. I don't even know what it was, but yeah, was
congratulations.
We had
the most ant species in one room.
Yeah, infestation yesterday as well. I think it's just the heat. Water.
Yeah, because apparently all the sprinklers that go off in my yard every couple of days aren't enough water for them. So they have to come inside.
Water's important to life, as David pointed out a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, to plants.
To plants, but not to people.
Yeah, I've noticed.
And ants.
I've noticed that it seems to be somewhat important for the tomatoes that I have growing on the deck, too. So
I did water my peppers last night, so I didn't have to do it this morning before coming in here.
But did you plant them?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, they're in the ground. I've even harvested.
Oh, wow.
That's right, your bell peppers? Look,
my beautiful orange bells, yes. And I watered the avocado last night and again this morning because the twice wasn't enough. So now it's three or four times each time. But there's fantastic. There's new growth all over the whole thing.
Oh, the other thing that I found out, too, that I can definitely attest to is early girl tomatoes are very susceptible to blossom end rot if you don't keep the soil moisture
even.
But you know what doesn't get blossom end rot? Cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They just explode.
Right.
Get too dry between waterings. They get a rush of water. Like they split right open. Yeah.
Like a ripe melon.
What's the other one that gets blossom end? Oh, San Marzano get blossom end rot.
Okay.
Too. It's not bad.
Right.
I mean, you could cut it off and the tomato's fine, but it's just it doesn't look good.
Yeah, it's an eyesore, yes. Yeah.
Just another David's peculiar moment. Not that you need another one, but just a little bit of blossom end rot where it makes the skin a little tougher, just that you see a discoloration at the end and not totally rotten down. Mm-hmm. I like. It adds a little bit of resistance to that. I like a firm tomato.
That's disgusting.
Not rotten, but it kind of gets a bronzy coloration. Have we not experienced?
I've seen it where it kind of calluses over.
That's it.
I'm not eating that.
No. Not. It's just there is no indentation. There is no rot. It's just a little discoloration on the very tip.
Oh, see, mine just turned black.
No. So. This is premature. Okay.
Blossom end rot.
Blossom end rot.
I'm not with you on this one.
Thanks, George. I keep looking for
you. I know you're staring at me. I'm not going to help you on that.
I'm looking for some help here.
Let's see.
Those go in the traps. They go in the rat traps, the squirrel traps.
Oh, and I don't know. Did I take you out back and show you the Lagerstroemias are in bloom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Your new favorite tree?
One of my new favorite flowering trees, non-fruiting trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is a whole new world for you, isn't it?
Yes,
it ornamentals.
Is. Ornamentals.
Yeah, they look pretty good right now.
They do.
We have to move one of those out front just so people can see
it. So that we can tell people that
it's not for sale.
Which one is it?
Lagerstroemia speciosa. It's a tropical crepe myrtle.
Okay.
The flowers, the individual flowers are probably about 2 inches across.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's kind of a lavender, lavenderish.
Purpley.
Light purple flower. Okay. I I saw it for the first time years ago in Honolulu at Foster Botanical Garden. They have huge ones. It looks like the foliage, if it didn't have flowers on it, you'd think it was a guava.
Okay.
Even a mango from a distance.
Yeah. I mean, it's got the very tropical, big foliage, okay. Tropical looking foliage. But the flowers are just spectacular. And I got a couple of them from, what used to be one of my favorite nurseries until they stopped shipping to San Diego because of the ag department, was Tip Top Tropicals back
in Florida?
In Fort Myers, I think. Yeah Florida. Okay, they have it. If you're a plant nerd, go check out Tip Top Tropicals online, tiptoptropicals.com. The stuff that they have is...
So you can look at it and not get it shipped to San Diego?
Yeah, they won't. you'd have to check with them, because the last time I tried ordering from them, they called me up and said, you know what, the ag department, even they're fully certified to ship to California, but for some reason, one of the inspectors at the ag department here wasn't anything that came in from them. They were just...
rejecting,
quarantining, and destroying. So, it's been over a year since I tried to order anything. So that may have changed at this point. But just go look at their website. Their website's amazing, because not only do they have stuff for sale that's incredible, but they have their website is like it's like a volume of Tropica.
Okay.
They have an incredible amount of information about all different kinds of plants. And if they have it available in inventory, then it has a price on it. But if they don't have it available in inventory, yeah, they just have the information there. But it's an incredible website, and it's really, really neat. The last thing that I tried ordering from them actually was probably about half a dozen different avocados that we don't have out here. Okay. Some really unusual ones. And one of the ones that I had tried to order was one of those really long ones.
Okay.
Where the fruit's like 12 inches long. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's a really interesting.
There are so many different avocado varieties. It's, so true. It's not just the, you know, we thought 5 or 10.
Yeah.
But there's a bazillion.
Oh, there's all kinds of them. Yeah. Some really interesting stuff. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call.
Sure it's not with Rodney Dangerfield, Mark Mahady, and George Allman? If you want to give us a call, you can go with the number, and then I'll explain it.
Explain it.
You're all of a sudden Rodney Dangerfield?
Yes. 888-344-1170 is the number. Okay.
Listen. No respect. So, during the break, you showed the picture to George that you showed to me with the citrus leaves, and the answer that I gave you that was totally unacceptable, correct?
No.
Yeah.
Until George said something similar, and then it was okay?
Well, I guess it was a...
No, second opinion.
Second opinion.
Yeah.
But before we go any further, we need to correct the name of that tropical store.
Oh, yeah. It's Top Tropicals, not Tip Top Tropicals. TopTropicals.com.
Thank you, George.
Yeah. Thank you for catching that.
Thank you for that, and for clarifying
for shooting
Ken
down David's prognosis. Issue.
Interestingly, Capri and I saw that tree as well, that crepe myrtle in Hawaii, and it was on the grounds where we were staying. And from a distance, she said, "That, you know, it's a gorgeous tree. What is that?" I said, "It looks like a crepe myrtle, but the leaves looked, you know, so much shinier, so much larger."
The foliage is much bigger, but the flower flower definitely looks like a crepe myrtle.
It does.
It's just huge. Just a much, much bigger.
So now I kind of want one.
I know where you can find one.
I know where there are two, but I...
let's see. What else was going on? Oh, you know, we had a rash of rats in our yard a while back. I think I caught three in a row now. I haven't been able to catch anything
with
since.
With what? What did you use?
Tomcat. Tomcat trap is the...
And did you bait it?
Yeah, peanut butter.
Okay.
Those traps are the way to go, as far as I'm concerned. Be easy to... If you're successful,
right.
They're easy to clean.
If you're successful.
You just squeeze them open and drop it out.
Yeah.
Easy to set. Although I tucked one in between the two tomato plants because that's a lot of times where the rats and the mice go. And I went out the other day and I'm like, oh, wow, something got in the trap. And I reached down to grab the trap and almost put my fingers into it because I didn't realize that it was still set. So that would have been
not good.
Not good.
Oh, I would have enjoyed it. I'm sure you would be laughing right now if you were telling, you know,
kind of like when I stuck Brian's pen in that one in the office.
Oh, and it just snapped it too.
Those are effective. I use those in the smaller versions for mice, and I set them right around the tomato that was eaten.
Yeah.
With no bait, I just put a bunch of them. And I catch rats pretty much every day.
Yeah, the ones that had the little tunnels on them, those didn't work.
I didn't find those effective at
all. I did not find them effective either. But the other ones, just the open traps, those worked very, very well.
Tomatoes, basil. The rats have been having a good time.
Oh, that's right. They were going after Maggie's basil.
So much so that she went to Home Depot and bought some aluminum. Border fence. What aluminum? Solid aluminum sheeting to put around the entire thing. Be interesting to see if there's success or not.
Right.
Now, despite having a lot of rodents eating our tomatoes, the basil's fine. We have tons and tons of basil. Nothing's touching it.
I had a rodent eat a half of an avocado. I think it was a squirrel. So I put it in my squirrelinator, and the avocado was completely eaten. But I caught nothing, which makes me think it was rats that were getting in there and munching on. Now I put an apple in there. I've been very unsuccessful lately. I haven't caught anything for weeks.
Maybe they're getting used to the squirrelinator.
Gonna have to try something else.
Or move it to a different location.
I put it right next to the hole where they go under the chicken coop.
Oh.
So they come and go from there. And I did notice 2 days ago, I still hadn't caught anything, but the door had been pushed closed on it. It has a little door so you can close it at night to keep skunks from getting in there. At least that's
getting
my
in the
theory.
Trap or in the chicken
yeah.
coop.
Oh. If you no, the trap has a little door to close off the entrance. Because once you catch a skunk in there, then you realize why those doors are there.
Exactly.
So you don't catch skunks.
Speaking of other pests that are showing up, thrips are becoming an issue again, and the chili thrip on roses. You said you started to see coming
in, and it just destroys them. Their appearance, they continue to grow, but they just are so contorted. They look, I don't know, they look like somebody has run them through a ringer or something. It looks viral, actually.
It does. Yeah, the leaves just look contorted. The flowers are distorted.
Everything is off on them. The plants continue to grow, but it all looks terrible.
I don't think I
You have.
I probably have seen it. I just don't remember it. The other thing that we've seen starting to make a comeback, an unwelcome comeback, is the giant whitefly. And I've out and about in just being out and around San Diego, I've started seeing it. Almost all of it I've seen has been on hibiscus. But I mean, it used to get on everything. It was on plumerias,
canna lilies,
all kinds of stuff. The only thing I've seen it on recently has been hibiscus. But
we had a picture on the manager's phone yesterday of it was on hibiscus, begonias, and plumeria.
What kind of begonias?
One of the bedding. Bedding begonias.
And you
could see them starting to form their circles.
The little bullseyes are the first thing that shows up.
And the customer did not believe it was an insect because it was such a perfect geometric pattern on the back of the leaf. Right.
What'd they think it was?
Yeah, what'd they think?
It was not my customer. Oh. Somebody just wanted to verify that that's what it was, and it clearly was. So what is happening? Do you think a predator has fallen by the wayside, or for years?
I think that's what actually got it somewhat under control. Wasn't it a wasp that they released that
so
started to get
something? Must have happened. Something
in the ecosystem has changed.
There's more humidity.
Well, that could be it too.
It could be any. I mean, yeah, you're right.
But you know, the good news is it's relatively easy to control. Although I know a lot of people that back when it was a real problem 20 years ago, that they were just taking stuff out. They didn't want to deal with it. Yeah. Although we didn't really have the same controls back then that we do now.
That is true.
But the Bonai tree and shrub systemic, that'll take care of it for up to a year. When it's applied properly.
From the inside
out.
Are people still recommending the worm castings?
Well, no, you don't recommend them.
Oh, okay. You don't recommend
because they're not labeled for that.
That is true.
However,
I'm a fan.
You were to spill a bag of worm castings around your hibiscus,
chances are you might reduce the whitefly populations. You know, whitefly didn't even show up here till 1992. The giant, it seems like it's been here forever, but 1992 in San Diego.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
It was the new exciting pest back then.
Right.
Yeah, and the control back then was pyrethrin and surfactant.
And Delphastus beetles.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember the Delphastus.
Dale.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
The beetles, was it a predatory beetle or what?
Well, supposedly.
Yeah.
Lacewings are a good biological control as well.
Yeah, it can be quite a mess once it gets going. Between the sooty mold and the 2 to 3 inches long
beard,
of that,
yeah,
that
cotton candy
beard
stuff,
yeah,
hanging
stuff
down,
hanging
candy,
down,
yeah,
and flying all over the place. That's one of the reasons why the systemic is so effective is because they don't take off when you try spraying it,
and you don't have to get through that waxy webbing.
Yeah.
But one of the first things we used to recommend was hosing them off. And when it was bad, all of that and whitefly would go floating everywhere.
Yeah, it could be quite a mess. Leaf miner doesn't seem to have been that bad this year.
Sir, point of order.
You've had an issue.
Oh my God, our citrus.
Citrus. Yeah.
Well, and maybe that's because I sprayed mine with spinosad this year, so that might have had something to do with it.
I did spray mine with spinosad after the horses were out of the barn.
Yeah.
There's good foliage. Then there's the new foliage that has damage, and then there's some newer foliage that has less damage from the spinosad. But especially the new sleeve citrus, the tall ones, as soon as they went in the ground, they put out a ton of
growth.
New growth. And then I'll take care of spraying it later. And
never did.
All, yeah,
all that new, that, there were 9 of those new varieties put in the ground, and they're all inundated.
But the spinosad works so well on
it. It really does. Yeah. I've been really impressed with it.
Do you know why I think that is?
You're going to tell us.
I believe it's because it's translaminar.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Is that the word you're going to hear?
Yeah. That was it.
Which means it penetrates the leaf and protects from the inside out and kills the little larva that's in there.
So they can't come out, mate, and make more babies into your next leaves.
Yeah, you know, it's...
Correct.
Yes, spinosad, it is very effective against them, and it's a tough one to control because the insect is actually in the leaf.
Yeah.
It's not on the leaf, it's actually inside the leaf.
It's like mining in the leaf,
hence the term. So spraying
traditional anything.
Well, the one that we normally recommend, which is an outstanding spray, is horticultural oil. But
it will kill the moth if the moth is
on the leaf
around. But it's not going to help you with anything in the leaf.
Yeah, but on the other hand, though, too, the moth is so tiny. How tiny is it?
Well, if you got a magnifying glass
and
tweezers, you could do it.
You could.
It's, what is it, like a 16th of an inch? It's tiny.
At the most, yeah. I mean, they're
and that's
really
where the traps come in, you know, using the pheromone traps. You'll capture the males. It's not going to reduce it to zero, but it's a mitigating step. But it also gives you a visual that there are all those specks inside will tell you need to get out there and spray.
Right.
Need to do something. Right. Yeah, exactly. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. New citrus disease coming out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You've got this.
I'm looking. Yellow vein cleaning virus.
Clearing virus.
Oh, clearing. Same thing.
Very close. Yeah. Very close. It's up in
Fresno, wasn't it? Or
no, there's another Tulare.
Tulare, okay.
It was in Tulare, and they found a bunch. They found the first tree, and then they've started canvassing the neighborhood, and they found a bunch more trees, and then that expands the next search area.
And what does it do?
Yeah.
What's the vector?
Yeah. Many different insects, whiteflies, aphids, all sorts of different vectors. Okay. So. A control, just like with the HLB, is a big part of that. Controlling the vectors,
right?
Yeah, I saw.
I don't remember what it does.
Well, I saw the pictures of the foliage, and it had like yellow.
It looks just like your citrus tree.
Well, no, not quite. Yeah, but I don't think it didn't look like a
trace mineral deficiency.
Didn't look like a trace mineral deficiency. So. But it did it had interesting little, I get, were they yellow?
It was yellow. It was a linear.
Bands, yeah.
Kind of a tiger.
The bands were kind of perpendicular to the main vein down the center of the center of the foliage. So, but I did not see what it does. Are you looking?
So in addition to the vectors of like David just said, the white fly, the citrus aphids, and a host of other aphids, grafting can transmit.
Oh, transmit, yeah.
Cutting tools. So they want you to be careful.
So you got
it is not
in between cuts.
It is not here. This is in one town up in the north, in the Central Valley, Tulare. So don't panic yet.
You'll be notified when to panic.
Yes, we'll. It is time to panic.
Well, remember they found the psyllid down in the citrus psyllid. Was it in Sweetwater? Where they found it?
Yes.
Originally in San Diego County? And then it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was everywhere before that and they just started looking for it or what.
Not only was it everywhere.
It was everywhere. You want me to say
ubiquitous? I want you to say ubiquitous. Are you going to?
Nah, I won't
say
that word.
Okay.
One more thing to
Put it on the shelf and worry about it.
So that's why it's important to go out and spray periodically right. on everything.
Well, that's
reduce populations of those insects.
Yeah, and we recommend spraying with at least the horticultural oil 2-3 times a year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times there'll be stuff, you'll have infestations of stuff and you won't even realize it.
Right.
But especially scale. Scale's probably the most insidious one as far as that's concerned.
We're battling it right now on a young Valencia. And it comes back. I've been just using jet streams of water and knocking it all off, and then the ants bring them back, and they're all over the place.
But yeah, and that, you know, that's that, and that's what
again. You want to be careful with the weather. You don't remember it's hot. You want to be careful with what you're spraying and when you're spraying. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you, George. but you know, that's the. I completely lost my train of thought on that one.
Spraying. Getting rid of horticulture.
Just keeping things under control before it gets out of hand. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Ants. If you see
ants
people,
in your
people,
plants,
if people come in and bring samples of plants in, And yeah, I've got this horrible ant infestation in my plants. What do I need to do to get rid of it? Well, the ants are not there feeding on your plant. The ants are there feeding on something else that is feeding on your plant. And it's usually usually whitefly, scale, as you mentioned, aphids. So if you have ants, especially in things like citrus, the ants are the secondary problem.
Correct.
There's something else that's causing a far worse problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but if you get rid of the source that they're going after, then the ants will disappear. The ants aren't going to hang around.
They'll come in your house.
Yeah, they'll come in and start looking for stuff in the house because they just don't.
Yeah.
They don't go after that stuff.
Right.
Other than the leaf cutter ants that they used to have at the
Wild Animal Park
or now the Safari Park, ants typically don't eat plants. But those leaf cutter, I'd forgotten about those until just
how cool they are.
Now. That was really neat because they had that one aerial root that from that tree. I can't remember what it was, but they would just march right up that aerial root carrying those almost dime-sized pieces of foliage that they would cut off of stuff.
Yeah, as long as they're behind glass at the Safari Park, it's okay.
I just saw that. I was at the St. Louis Zoo back in June, and same thing. They have a big display with roots hanging and branches and ants going from one end to the other with all their big chunks of leaves. It's pretty neat.
You know what? I saw it early in the season, but I haven't seen it recently. Leafcutter bees.
Yeah,
we have a lot of those still.
Yeah. Do you? I haven't seen anybody bring in. It's typically roses.
Roses. Yeah, my avocado. Roses, one of my avocados used to get it a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it on avocado.
Perfect. Looked like someone took a hole punch and just took out half a section of the leaf.
Yeah, I haven't.
Or half a circle, rather.
Wasn't me.
Not this time.
Haven't seen those in a while. But.
Well, I think that was when it was more of an issue with the leafcutter bees because the rose growers were growing for show and a semicircle out of a leaf for a presentation rose
would cause some trouble.
Is presentation ending for that plant, that rose. And so
it's an automatic disqualification.
Yes, and for most people, it's not a big deal.
Right. That's true.
Well, actually, a lot of leaf damage things for us are not a big deal.
Correct.
I mean, you have damage on your leaves that you don't panic about. You've got a hole, something eaten on one side. You don't come rushing in.
You are
in,
absolutely
fix this,
correct,
fix this.
And I'm picturing in the movie Airplane when the guy was panicking. But anyway, it's not a big deal. And for so many different things, people look. They want everything to be perfect.
It's not. I mean, you're right.
And they'll bring in the one leaf that's yellow or has damage on it. And then
do you have a picture
of the whole plant? And the plant looks
beautiful.
Fine.
And it's like, well, I wouldn't worry so much. But, I mean, I get it. It's their plant. They want to figure it's going south or whatever. But
you're being way too understanding.
Well, no, you're generous, Mark.
Well, it's, yeah. I don't know.
Is this a new you?
Yeah, a little bit. I've changed the last couple months. Yeah, I've definitely gotten softer.
I think we should probably just end the show here. Well, no, we don't have to. I'm just kidding. But perspectives change. Is that what you're saying, Mr.
Mahady? Absolutely.
I appreciate that. But a lot of times people get too focused on the single leaf, the single hole, the single piece of damage or whatever it is. And the overall picture, it's not a big deal. And anytime you see a bare branch on a tree, there's leaves out at the end, and you see the wood of a branch. That used to be where the leaves were coming out.
Right.
Trees don't just put out branches. They used to have leaves there. And so the old leaves are going to fall off. Leave them under the trees for your mulch. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm agreeing with you.
You're right. Yeah.
As long as the tips and the newer growth
is good. It looks good. Yeah, well, exactly.
That's the thing. Yeah.
That is the thing. If the new growth looks
but
good.
When people come in and they don't know anything about plants or whatever, and they're learning, and they see something, they panic. And again, I try to be nice and say, hey, it's not worth it. Everything's fine. You're doing great. But every once in a while, they just want to know. They need to hear that.
Okay.
Yeah. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back next weekend with another hour. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.